Thank you, Glenda. Good morning, SEC.
Good morning.
The music that I've chosen to sing this morning is in honor of our Black History Month, and that we not just look at it as just this one month, but all the time, recognize that history, my ancestors and all of those that have made it possible for me to be here today. So I give thanks. Why do I feel discouraged? And why do the shadows come? Why does my heart still long to know that heaven is home? And Jesus is my portion, a constant friend is he. My eyes on the sparrow, and I know he watches me. I sing because I'm happy, and I sing because I'm free. Oh, his eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me. And I sing because I'm happy, and I sing because I'm free. Oh, his eye is on the sparrow, and I know, yes,
Karen, just lovely. Thank you for blessing us like that. We are so honored to have our guest speaker today, who is one of our very own community, and that makes it extra special. Audrey Scott Williams is going to continue with our theme for 2016, which is creating a world that works for everyone, and her title is The New Heaven. So I know we're going to enjoy this because Audrey and Karen lived their life devoted to peace and to creating a world that works for everyone. So please help me welcome Audrey Scott Williams.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you indeed for allowing Karen and I to share our journeys with you. Our journey in life and our journey through the work that is so important for us. You know, I found a quote from Ernest Holmes on the eye is on the sparrow, and I thought I'd open up with that. And he said, his eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me. This is a blessed thought, for it means that we cannot wander from the presence of God or depart from divine care. Always God watches over us and comforts us. Forever we sit in the house of the divine, and we are ceaselessly cared for. The all-seeing eye cannot overlook anyone, and all are kept in sacred care. All are kept in divine care. I want to start with a poem from Maya Angelou. It's interesting. This is the third time her name has come up, but she always is a source of inspiration for me. We, unaccustomed to courage exiles from delight, live coiled in shells of loneliness until love leaves its high holy temple and comes into our sight to liberate us into life. Love arrives in its train, come ecstasies, old memories of pleasure, ancient histories of pain. Yet if we are bold, love strikes away the chains of fear from our souls. We are weaned from our timidity in the flesh of love's light. We dare be brave, and suddenly we see that love cost all we are and will ever be. Yet it is only love that sets us free. I think of that a lot as Karen and I are preparing for what I think will be one of the most exhilarating walks of the 15-year history of walking not only around this country but around the world. And it's because it embraces this notion of freedom. And you know, in the new heaven, what we are really embracing, what is really coming forward, is the knowing that within us all truly is well because we are divine beings. We really are. Now, what happens in our earthly experience is that we step down off of this high, holy, holy of holy places that our heart resides in. And we become entrapped in the notion that this is it. We forget that, yes, this is it in one sense. But the true it is our opportunity to be love in action. And so for Karen and I, we are embracing on the Red Flame for Freedom walk that's going to take us to 16 cities around the country. We just added a 17th in conversation with Keisha this weekend, and others who have said, well, aren't you going to do something here in Alabama? Aren't you going to do something in Dothan? So we are examining and exploring that. But what is the Red Flame for Freedom? The Red Flame for Freedom is a movement to awaken us to something that's very difficult. That's modern slavery. And when I talk about our walk to different audiences and different individuals as we're doing that drumbeat to gain the heart, to get the heartbeat going around this walk, which is our typical style, people often say to me, well, that's something that exists in other parts of the world, not here. And sad to say, that's not the truth. Modern slavery is alive in our communities across America at an alarming rate. It is a movement. The Red Flame for Freedom is a movement to awaken each of us to truths that cannot shift until we shift. We'll never be seen until our eyes are truly open. It is our intention to raise awareness through information, education, and engagement in communities across the country about modern slavery. In the context of the Red Flame for Freedom, we see freedom being embraced in four pillars, or the modern day slavery embracing four pillars. One is sex trafficking. One is labor trafficking. One is children in poverty, and the other is mass incarceration. And it is often my experience that a conversation around issues related to even the idea of modern slavery is so deep. It affects us at a very deep, tender space. And I think that has a lot to do with our own history, that we're still looking for ways to move through, to heal, to find, to make heaven out of something that was very painful and traumatic for our historical existence here as Americans. And that is the slavery that happened during the Atlantic slave trade. So as we talk about modern slavery, it hits those tender spots. I know it hits it in me. I know that I have trouble sometimes reconciling. Here we are in the 21st century, and there we were back 500 years ago, 300 years ago, back into the 1400s and forward. and we still had systems of slavery. And when you start to look into sex trafficking, labor trafficking, when you look into children in poverty and you look into mass incarceration, you see the historical chains still binding us in ways that are very uncomfortable for us to embrace, because to embrace it, it means that we have to accept the fact that there's an aspect of our consciousness that is still holding each other in bondage. Now, why? Why might that be? What does that say for our own personal healing? What blocks does that say might be in place? And so I found that as we are preparing ourselves for this walk, we had to go deep and continue to go deep inside of ourselves. We had to look into ourselves at the very moment of this awareness that this was what we were supposed to do and say, can we do this? Remember when I started out, I said, this might be one of the most profound walks that we've done. It's going to call up so much in us. Because every day when we live this life, we walk this path as human beings, we have the opportunity to walk in the new heaven, which is where we know all is well, that we are well, that we are of the divine flow, that we are the it. And then we also are plagued with all the things that show up in our lives that make us think that it's real, that make us think that this is what we have to. We have to let this part go so that we can deal with whatever it is that's facing us that draws up fear and anxiety and anxiousness and makes us want to hurt not only ourselves, but each other. Not that I want to do you ill, but if I'm living in a concept that there's a lot of lack, there's a lot of demand for things in the world out there, but there's only a limited supply, whether they're tangible things, emotional things, heart things, love, then I got to get there first. I got to make sure I get my peace. And I might not understand, that in the new heaven, where I have an opportunity every day to reside and to embrace, that there is no such thing as limitation. The earth has been providing, even in our worst behavior, for us forever. And she will continue to do so. So if she can do that in our worst assaults on her, then what can she do for us in her glory? In the jungles of the Amazon, when we allow the trees to flourish, even in the deserts, in the Sahara or the Mojave deserts, even on the pinnacles of the Himalayan mountains, out in the ocean, when you come face to face with the whale that I spoke of the last time I was here. When we tap into that level of awareness, then we can take it back into the old heaven, the old earth. You know? Because, see, we can only get to the new heaven when we can move the consciousness of our earthly selves in this moment. That then allows us to shift more into the awareness of this new heaven. And it's not really new. I want to keep going back to that. It's not really new. But it causes us, as we are here in this earth, so this is earth, this is the new heaven, okay? So when I dance back and forth, it will be with me. So in this space where we are in terms of this current present earthly being, we hold a consciousness that is being challenged every day, and that's what Maya Angelou's poem was, that love. Let me see if I can put my hand on it right quick, because I want to say that. We are weaned from our timidity in the flush of love's light. We dare to be brave, and suddenly we see that love cost all that we are. You see, sometimes in this earthly presence, we get confused by love because we have it, we embrace it on an emotional level, but we don't always have an awareness that love is a power. Love is an energy. Love is what sets us free. Love is what allows us to create, to become co-creators of the universe, embracing that God self that is within us and calling that down into us, deep into us, rooted into us, that we can connect with it and we can be the change the world is waiting for. So in our earthly selves, we have to constantly work with the shadows that show up. And they're not showing up and saying, oh, I'm sick, oh, I'm this or I'm that. They're showing up to say, this is the opportunity to make the shift. And see, that's what happens. Sometimes we embrace what shows up as our shadow selves, the issues we're dealing with, our fears and our oppressive feelings and our response to aggression. We think that that's real. And so we get caught up in embracing that without realizing that there's an entire resource available to us and through us when we tap into the power and presence that not only we are, but all the people that are around us also have access to, that they can come into our periphery and help us move beyond what sometimes appears to be something that we can't go beyond, something that feels like it's stopping us, it's got us locked down. The answers are within us. But if we are thinking over here on this earthly side for the answers, it's not going to allow us to shift into this new heaven or the heaven that is already in us, because we can't see it. We can't see it. We can't feel it. We can't be it. So something that had a moment of realization for me when Karen was singing, I was looking at this flame, and I don't know if you can see it here. You have the candle. And in the back of the candle, can you see a shadow candle kind of there? We are each other's shadow candle. That means we stand with each other, holding a light for each other to help each other remember who we are when we're dancing in heavenly places. But when we are limited to this, we think this is all there is. And we don't realize that all around us are shadow candles helping to keep our own flame lit. Now, some of you say, well, that sounds good, but what about if I'm facing despair in my life? What about if my home has just been taken away? What about if I'm thinking that I've got to end my life because I can't take it anymore? What about what's happening in modern slavery? What about all these things that are so heavy and they're real because they're part of my existence? How are you suggesting that all I have to do is shift? What I'm suggesting is all we have to do is being open to the possibility that there is something bigger than this moment. And when we are each other's shadow candle, we can beam our light into each other, helping each other remember who we are, helping to touch that light within them, to raise it up so that they become the candle or the shadow candle for someone else. So that as we do that, we are resonating at such a frequency that we are lifting up the vibration, not only of ourselves, not only of our friends and our community, but of the entire world. And I believe firmly that no other time on the planet, and I can only say this from my reference, my concept of who we are as human beings, where we are on the earth, what are my indigenous elders telling me, what are my different faith-based traditions saying, what are my friends saying around the world, that this is it. Why is this so profound a time that we get it when we really step into that notion of the new earth? Because what is in our hands has such capacity to destroy the world as never before. One decision made in haste could literally destroy this earth. We have that much power available to us in our weapons of mass destruction. And not only that, can destroy the minds, the consciousness that can make this bridge, because we also have weapons of mass distraction. And these weapons of mass distraction, sometimes I think they may even be more powerful and more profound. And we have to be more aware of what we are feeding ourselves when we sit in front of televisions and watch videos and listen to radios, to understand that there is so much more than the election that's going on. There is so much more than what's being reported. And don't get me wrong, all my political friends, don't attack me. I mean that in the sense that we have to look, as Maya Angelou say, love makes us go deeper and deeper and deeper, churning everything within us, because we have to ask the questions. Even Ernest Holmes, I was looking at quotes from Ernest Holmes one day, and there was one quote that is my favorite quote that he ever said. Question. You ever seen that? That's it. Question. Question everything. Because when we think about the dynamics around the politics in this country, we're talking about billions of dollars being spent. We talk about children in poverty, one of our pillars in modern slavery. We've got 14.7 million children that are living below the poverty line. A third, 3% of that are living in extreme poverty. Those are numbers that are higher than some populations in countries. The 14.7 I mentioned last time, and I will mention it again this time, the 14.7 million children who are living in poverty in this country right now equal 12 states' combined population. The numbers in extreme poverty equal 7, and I didn't bring that part of my presentation from last week with me, so I can't tell you the actual states. But I can give that to you if you want it. And so when we speak about the children in poverty as being one of those areas of pain, we have to remember that when children are in poverty, our future is in poverty. When our children are not cared for and loved, then our future is at question. When I was at a gathering and the Maasai, when they're greeting, they say, not how are you, they say, how are the children? Our children are not well. Our children, when we have a country with 14.7 million children in poverty, one of the richest countries in the world, our children are not well. And so I'm saying this not to bring us down, because I'm saying that we have to be willing to look into these situations and question, how can we spend billions of dollars on political campaigns and have this many children in poverty? How can we have the highest rate of incarceration in the world with our particularly people of color than anywhere else in the world at an alarming rate? I think it's like 800% above. That's frightening. What does that say? We have to question. We have to raise the questions. I remember looking even at sex trafficking, seeing a little girl. This is a story that sort of hit both pillars, sex trafficking and incarceration. 10 years old, sitting in chains in a courthouse while she was being sentenced to serve in an adult facility for prostitution, while her pimp was never even apprehended or any effort to make it. In this country right now, 400 women are going to jail to one pimp. So, you know, maybe some of you may say, well, what does that have to do with being in a pulpit when you're talking about heaven on earth? It has everything to do with it. Our godly selves have to embrace what's showing up in our environment, not to stay stuck there, but to say, how do we move forward? See, that over here, we have the answer. Over here, we see truth. Over here, we see what we can handle. We see what we think we can handle. And when it gets too tough, we disassociate from the experience. We disassociate from the truth because it's too hard. Because we think our strength is in this moment, but our strength is in the new heaven. Our strength is knowing that I am the light because God spoke those words. So therefore, God must have been speaking to me. And you are my shadow lights. You give me the reminders of the power that I am. So when I go to bed, I dream and I envision a future. I dream a dream that has us walking across the world, around the country, and for different causes for the last 15 years. It comes to me. I'm not brilliant enough to bring it on, and I don't have the fortitude to say I want to go walk around the world. It takes a lot of energy. But it comes, and when it comes with so much power because it is truth. It is the truth of who I am. I couldn't do it if God didn't put me here to do this. We couldn't be the change that needs to happen here if God didn't already imbue us with what it is we need to be the change. And so as we move forward, let us remember that in each one of us is an answer through the gifts that were given to us. See, when we're over here in that co-creating space, we understand that what was innately ours, what was gifted to us before we were even born, is the songs that we're going to sing, the music we're going to write, the way to move our bodies to help us to be whole and strong, the answers to someone who's contemplating suicide, to help them move from that to a space of choosing life, to endure 47 years. 47 years in bondage and come out and be the strong warrior, elder that you are, Baba. To endure whatever challenges come to us medically and physically, to rise above that into our heavenly selves. So what is the new heaven? The new heaven is the beloved community. Dr. King said, all I did, the end of it is the beloved community, where we can sit in a circle together, all colors, all circumstances in life, and we can talk. We can embrace each other in agape love, that love that of the Samaritan in the Bible, the story of the Good Samaritan. We can embrace each other there, not because we're trying to be each other, but because we found a way to open our hearts to one another, to hear each other's stories without having to think we have to fix it. To see the value in a story that doesn't come from a way that I'm used to hearing it, based on the way I grew up, based on my culture, based on what I learned to be true, but rather just simply because this divine light is shining forth and pouring into me the power of the story that is them. And when we share our stories, we get closer to truth. When we share our stories, we find those, the essence of who we are, so ingrained in there that all of a sudden that light starts to shine. Now, I must confess, I said a whole lot of stuff that I don't have written down today. And I'm not worried about that either. The first thing I do when I start to speak, I say, Lord, please take my mouth away, because maybe there's something to come through that I had no idea was to come through in the first place. But what do we do when we come face to face with our own evolutionary potential? We begin to do what we are here to do, unencumbered by any sense of impossibility. We become one with the timeless self and the source energy called by many names. That is creation itself. We step out of the I and into the I am. And I think I'm just totally blowing this microphone here. In the I am state of being, we transcend the self, limited to seeing the world through the lens of our finite self, so that everything emanates and returns to the self. Everything we think, every experience we have, and every consequence of our actions filtered through our mind, our emotional, and our physical state of awareness. And embrace the unlimited potential that we are, which necessitates a step beyond the prevailing norms. See, when we step into the evolutionary potential that we are, sometimes our history can't follow. Sometimes our historical sense of who we are can't follow. Why? Because we have to let go of the things that can't serve us over here. See, there's a lot of stuff we're stuck in right here. But over here, we got to let it go. I think that is the challenge for this time. Can we let go of what no longer serves us to embrace the evolutionary potential that we are? That's the question. That's the question I'd like for you to think about. See, as we take this step over here, we're deconstructing and reconstructing. Right? But when we get it, and we all know the feeling, every now and then, we enter that zone. Nobody can tell you what it is. You can't even hardly describe it, but you enter the zone. I remember laying on that pontoon. I wake up with that sense on the boat, the small little rubber boat in the middle of the Pacific, and this whale, I could have touched her face to face with her. That was a moment. That was a moment. So we all have that knowing. It may not be a whale, but it's something else that allows us to tap in to a state of awareness that plants us right here. And so as I end my presentation, my question to you is, what are you ready to let go of so that you can move more smoothly? You're going to get there anyway, but more consciously, more smoothly, more dynamically into your evolutionary self. When I say we're all going to get there, we will get there. As Baba says, we can do it God's way or we can do it God's way. We can do it. We can do it easy, or we think we can do it and think we're in control and do it the hard way. One way or another, we're going to get there. But I'd like to suggest that we ask ourselves this question every day, because I believe these children we're walking for, these women that we're walking for, these men we're walking for, all need us to get it maybe just a little bit sooner. With a whole lot of love and compassion, a whole lot of willingness to open our hearts to embrace each other in a way that maybe we haven't done before, or maybe in a way that we did before, but then we let go of it. This is our moment. Let's all rise and be each other's shadow light. Thank you.